Hello out there, everybody. I hope you all grabbed your parkas, because it's getting cold in here. Off to Antarctica.
Way to ruin the best, one of the best themes ever.
I know.
Where's a parka in the cold?
People who don't mind the cold.
Question is, who wears a parka?
I have
a parka.
Is it a coat or a sweatshirt?
It's a big coat.
Yeah, well, why would you wear a sweatshirt in Antarctica? All right, we're off topic here. Welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast for all things nerd. This is a Conan classic, if you recognize that theme. We're dipping into horror. We're doing John Carpenter's The Thing. So I am your host, Sean, and just remember that all the scotch has been filled with gasoline. Just keep that in the back of your heads. And I'm joined here with...
Cheating bitch, Sam.
I know you men have been through a lot, but when you have the time, I'd rather not spend the rest of this quarantine tied to this fucking couch!
Maybe we at war with Norway. This is Chris.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, this is a great opening. Oh, man, we're not even 2 minutes in. This is gold.
It started with you, like, opening it like you were, like, some, like, third-rate radio host on The X-Files.
Damn straight.
You're talking over the music for a change. That's fancy.
Yeah. I felt like we were going to get into, like, alien investigations or something like that.
It's like we had decent quality sound for a little while, and then something happened.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So... like I said, John Carpenter's The Thing, 1982 is when this came out. So it's been a long time. Main reason why this movie was chosen, I threw it out there, but John's on a Kurt Russell kick, so that really cemented this one to be talked about.
It's also, I wanted to do this movie because this may be the only situation where I end up actually getting myself to watch this movie. Not that I didn't want to watch the movie. It's just one of those movies where it's just always there and I never think about watching it.
I definitely feel like this is on everybody's to-watch list that they're never going to watch.
Yeah.
Also, an incredible choice of a quarantine movie.
Yeah.
I'm almost regretting not buying it for like $10 more than renting it.
I have the like special edition DVD, so I'm golden.
Let's put it okay. Look, from now on, if we talk about a movie that you don't have on DVD, mention it, because you have so many freaking DVDs. We'll just assume that you have it on DVD.
I know,
in special edition or director's cut.
Yeah,
you know, etc.
Yep.
You know the original, like Godzilla's in Japanese.
The original. I have all the Godzillas
on VHS.
I don't have them on VHS. I have them all on DVD or Blu-ray.
Anyway.
Solid use of VHS in this movie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Forgot about that one.
Like 1982, so this was like, this was high tech stuff.
No. Remember, they have VHS tapes, but they have the smartest computer ever.
Imaginable.
It's like percentage of probability that your other crewmates are infected. 75%. And it's like percentage of the world population getting affected. It's like, you can't program it to state those things as clearly as they do.
I don't know. Could you? Could Wilford Brimley's character? I don't know. Could Wilford Brimley the actor? I don't know.
The problem I have is that it's giving you all this like awesome explanation of this could be a, you know, a huge issue for the world. But literally before that, you see a
an animation
like Tetris Gattaca type game.
Oh my god! Like... that triangle just ate the blob over there.
Yeah, right.
It falls in this genre of like 80s and maybe even late 70s movies of like, no, we're going to use computers to show you what an actual computer would look like, and people are going to be amazed, and it ages. I don't think anything aged worse. Like, I think maybe even... Well, I won't say what I was going to say. But, yeah, it's awful. And
Yeah.
Who else does this? Like, Star Trek does this. It's just, it's bad.
What was it? Escape from New York does it, too, with, like, their, like, CGI city on the computer, which is another John Carpenter movie.
Well, it's all the 80s.
Yeah, one. 80s movies where they're, like, futuristic computers show four colors.
Yeah, what was the one we just watched?
Total Recall.
Total Recall. Yeah, that's another one.
Yep.
I feel like Running Man probably has the same thing going on too.
I mean, like that's the entire movie Tron.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, Tron. No. Anyway. So John Carpenter, The Thing, it continues his kind of streak of really, really rememberable and recognizable theme music.
Mm-hmm.
I never realized it until you started playing it that this song is, or at least the open. Is it the opening theme, or is it just kind of the theme?
Yeah, it's the opening.
Well, it's like really presumptuous of him to be call it John Carpenter's The Thing.
Well, like, almost every movie.
So the reason why it's called John Carpenter's The Thing is so. Ooh. So this movie is based off of a novella written in 1938 called Who Goes There by John W. Campbell Jr. Then that was loosely adapted into the movie The Thing from Another World in 1951, which, like I said, loosely adapted. John Carpenter's The Thing, to separate it from The Thing from Another World, actually, believe it or not, is actually closer to the original story than The Thing from Another World. Now, if you've never seen The Thing from Another World, it is a sci-fi classic. It is a great movie, definitely worth a watch.
It's a great movie of the 1950s, like, B-movie sci-fi movies.
Yeah, because it's scary, but it's got some comedy.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. And then
it's got great dialogue in it.
Yeah.
Just really great natural dialogue.
Oh, yeah. Everything feels very organic in the movie, like dialogue-wise.
And everybody's talking like faster than you would see in a normal movie. Not so fast that it's just, you don't have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
But like, it feels natural dialogue.
Mm. Are we talking about The Thing?
The thing from another world. The one that predates this one.
Well, can you carry that over into this movie? Because this is an early 80s movie, and they actually have that quality of they play off each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
And the wording and the dialogue actually flows, because you watch movies like Conan the Barbarian, and the dialogue doesn't flow.
What are you talking about? That works perfectly.
No. Take him out, and just the dialogue between everybody else is just... When you're talking Total Recall, it's the same thing. The dialogue is atrocious in all of those movies.
I don't know, Chris. Like, that's like comparing, like, trying to say, this guy's a fast runner. Look, he can beat this seal. Like, I mean, like, you're literally comparing it to one of the worst, like, dialogues you can think of, Arnold Schwarzenegger talking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Friday the 13th Part 3 came out this year as well, so that's not really a great dialogue film there either.
Yeah, but it's a classic. It is a
First Blood. Wow, that came out in 82?
And talk about a movie that benefited by their star not talking.
First Blood? Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Good point.
I think the big thing with these Carpenter movies, man, is like they're like very like high grade B movies.
Mm.
It's like Kurt Russell's kind of a name. I think it's more like he becomes a name sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is one of his first like bigger roles. But like, this movie's just like filled with like that guys though.
Oh yeah. Like you said, Wilford Brimley's in it. He's the diabetes guy.
Got Keith David in this.
Yeah. Keith David.
Keith David, Donald Moffat, the guy who's the president in Clear and Present Danger. Yeah, just a bunch of people who you've like sort of half seen before.
Yeah. And then I stated before, this movie is known for its special effects, the visual effects, by Stan Winston, who I feel like all we're doing is on these classics is Stan Winston best of at times. Because we've talked Aliens, we've talked Jurassic Park.
It's almost like we're talking a lot of 1980s movies that are sci-fi movies.
Yeah, and early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s.
Could I? So since we've kind of dug deep into that, I gotta admit, watching this one, mm-hmm. there's an element that I think we've definitely like lost with going more towards like CGI.
Yes.
There's this like unnatural sort of like, you know, unsettling nature of the practical effects
mm-hmm.
that like it looks, it's like this uncanny valley kind of thing of like it looks real enough that like you're sort of like disturbed to just seeing it.
Yeah. In this, like the spider like scene, the where the spider comes up out of the guy with the head, like
yeah.
it looks so creepy, but it looks so real at the same time. Well,
the sound helps with that.
Oh yeah,
you can hear this, like the legs breaking out of the skull.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because there's just the scale and like they're really going for it here. Like these are so like batshit crazy more than anything else.
Yeah.
Like this isn't just like, oh, it's a dinosaur being a dinosaur. It's like, you know, stuff you just like haven't seen in any shape or form before,
right?
And it really, it's very effective, and it's a, oh, yeah. I wouldn't have expected it.
I would say the worst special effects in this whole movie, because you know it's the one thing screens. That I no was the part where the guy's doing the defib, and the guy's chest opens up and bites his hand.
Yeah,
you can
oh with that yeah,
yeah
you can see the
you can like see that arm. It's a green screen, like it just looks bad. But like,
oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it almost appears like it's a green screen at that point or okay. something. But like that scene just looks bad for a movie where all the rest of the practical effects looks phenomenal.
But you know what the most disturbing part of this movie was?
What?
Wilford Brimley without a mustache.
Yes.
Like,
because you see him really quick, you're like, wait, no, I don't think that's him.
Yeah,
and then you're like, oh, it's his voice.
Yeah, you're just like, what the hell?
It's like, first watching this movie, you're like, is that Wilford Brimley or is it that guy from Walker, Texas Ranger? Like, it's one of those two, I swear.
So are we just going to hop around here, I guess? Or?
Yeah, we'll hop around. Yeah.
All right, can I throw this out here while we're on the Brimster?
Go ahead.
The scene of him, like, just, like, trashing the radio equipment, like... Honestly, a superior version of the like Office Space scene where they like go after the printer. Like how? Like I'm not saying that superior maybe is a little strong, but like we should the scales of like justice and memification of the like world. Like we should be seeing that one way more, or like way more than we have been. Because like that was great, dude. Him just going at it with an axe,
and like just even like the way he shoots the gun. It's like very like. Old Western kind of way, like where it's like there's no kickback and it's just like he's doing like so limp-wristed.
The infinite bullets.
So at what point, by the way, is he supposed to have been infected?
Wilford Brimley, I do not believe ever gets infected.
Yeah,
because he gets locked away. They lock him away, and he's like, I'm not one of them. And they're like, yeah, wait, okay,
but. Wait, no, but I thought...
Who was the one building under the tool shed?
Yeah, who did that then?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was Wilford.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is my... I guess this is my kind of only complaint about this movie is I do get lost with some of the characters mm-hmm. when they're referencing the names and not showing the faces.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of characters in this, particularly
there's also like, the character names are so, like, generic... It's like
yeah.
Windows. Right. It's just a weird name.
Windows.
It's one of those
Blair.
Places where like some diversity of being like, you know, oh yeah, Chang or like Gutierrez. Like he was like, you know,
it would work.
Yeah.
Amanpour, get over here.
Right.
It was Wilford Brimley who was building under the. No, was it?
I don't know. Well, that's the trail led to it, and it's like. That was clearly the alien building that, right? It wasn't like Wilford Brimley trying to make a helicopter.
Right. No, that was the alien.
So the one thing with that, though, is he infected when he, like, goes nuts? Because, like, there's actually, I think, like, a reason, like, I had in my notes, like, he's, like, being right the wrong way of, like, destroying all the radio equipment and being, like...
Because, yeah, so, he's trying to keep it isolated when he's doing that. Because if the, you know...
Yeah.
Because, so, with the creature, when it takes over... a host, it takes on its memories and everything and its characteristics. Which in the book they explain it that it keeps the same mass. So it in the book it immediately infects one of the people, and then it has more of it, so it infects one of the dogs.
Gotcha.
So, but in this one, which talk about a movie that just like, you know, hits the ground running. They're like, oh, let's bring this dog in the kennel with the, oh my God, it's not a dog. Like, it's almost immediate when this happens.
Let me just say, I love the dog as the bad guy too.
Yeah.
Like, and like, look, I love dogs. Like, I absolutely love dogs. I'm waiting to buy a house so I can just buy one, get one. I love making the dog the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, dogs have been way up too high, like, way up high way too long.
It's like the one movie where you can't cry because the dog died. Like, you can't, because it's the bad guy.
Well, I cried when the other dogs died.
Yeah, that was sad when they were trying to escape.
Oh, my God, yeah, when he's, like, picking out the fence?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, Sam, you mentioned this before the podcast. You said you were going to do, if you spoke, no, what do they speak? Swedish?
Norwegian.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. So
they even make the joke during it where Kurt Russell's like, hey, Swede. Like, they're Norwegian.
Yeah.
Dude.
So you said if you spoke Norwegian, you would do what they were saying. What the guy is literally saying is, that's not a dog, that's an alien. That's what he's saying in Norwegian. And so, like, if you speak the language, you're like, well, that spoils it. But it's kind of like one of those subtle, like, details in the movie where just the average audience, especially in America, where this, you know, is mainly debuted, we have no idea what he's saying. So it's terrifying when the dog actually morphs into the creature. But yeah, so it's kind of a little spoiler to start the movie.
You know what? Sorry.
Well, it's a little off topic, but, like, I just had this thought early on in the movie, and it, like, a little bit took me out of it, but it's one of those things where only I would have this thought, so it's not really a detraction from the movie, but I was just sitting there like, is there a lot of need for guns in the Antarctic?
Both like, polar bears.
No, there's no polar bears.
There's no polar bears down there. What are the things going to come at you?
That's like where the predators are, Sam. The predators with the aliens under the ice. You gotta protect yourself.
When you see the dog in the beginning and you're like, wait, are there wolves in the Antarctic? No, there's not. It's like just penguins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's stuff under the ice. And that's scary stuff. But yeah. I don't know, maybe it's a Soviet Union kind of thing, like, because, you know, it was still Turing.
They might
invade the base.
Yeah, you are awfully secluded if somebody did want to fuck with you. And it is like a military sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of imply that, but nobody has like a rank or anything, but still.
Right.
But like, this is, I wish like more movies would do Antarctica.
Yes.
It's like, Whiteout?
Right, Chris?
It's just,
the what?
Kate Beckinsale, was it Whiteout?
Oh yeah, Whiteout.
Yeah.
She was in the prequel to this, right?
No, that was oh God.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Thank you.
I haven't seen that one either, but
I have seen the prequel. Sam, did you go with us to see the prequel?
No.
Okay, so
The Thing.
Yes, it's also called The Thing from 2011. I'll get into it a little later because I have thoughts to build on that.
But like, it's just a great place to do like a horror movie.
Yeah, because you're so isolated.
It like makes sense when they're like, we can't contact anybody because it's like, all right, it's the 1980s. They don't have satellites yet. So like, yeah, you get some interference and there's no one around you for like hundreds, thousands.
Did you just say it's the 1980s? You don't have satellites?
Well, they had satellites, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
proto satellites.
We're not as advanced. No, it's like the closest thing of being in space but still being on Earth,
right,
pretty much.
And it's even to like today, it's still
it's not much better.
Yeah. You're still very isolated down there. So,
what's your like Antarctica movie rankings? Can I give you mine?
Sure.
All right, it's this, fucking Pebble with the Penguin. Happy Feet, and then AVP.
I was going to say, does Happy Feet count? Or?
Well, of course it does.
It's Antarctica, man.
No Happy Feet 2? No love for Happy Feet 2?
So it's, I guess it was a Mount Rushmore kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
The fact that two of the movies were just about penguins is all you really need to know.
Does March of the Penguins count?
Probably.
Nonfiction.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. I feel like we've just named all the Antarctic movies.
I know. So
like, you really did. You really did.
I mean, but there could be more. Like,
was it The Land Time Forgot, I think?
Oh, like, well, The X-Files. Does The X-Files count?
The X-Files did not take place in Antarctica.
No, the X-Files movie at the very end.
Is that in...
That might be Antarctica.
I think that's Antarctica.
But does that count? Because then, like, The Blob? Because I believe they dropped The Blob off in Antarctica to keep it cold forever, which global warming, it's going to warm up people, and The Blob is going to take over the world.
Dude, you did name all the Antarctica movies.
There's not many.
I mean, except for Whiteout, but yeah.
I mean, look, dude, it's one of the seventh continents, and there's four movies about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's such unused potential down there.
It's so, like, easy to film, because you just go up to Canada, and you're like, boom, we're in Antarctica, and everybody's like...
film parts of this movie in California.
Yes, I know.
Nobody's going to correct you.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, you've been to Antarctica? No. All right. Shut up. Of course there's palm trees there. Shut up.
Hollow Earth. Come on.
Can I say this about this movie?
Sure.
It really does yield one of the best Halloween costumes you could ever have.
Who, Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell. Yeah. All you need is the flamethrower.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like dynamite attached to a few buckles on your jacket. And then the like sleeve that goes over your head and your neck, and the safety goggles. And that's all you need.
Yeah, and the beard sticking out of it.
You know what's funny? The flamethrower makes more sense than a shotgun.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Can I just hit on something here? Mm-hmm. Why don't all movies have flamethrowers in them? It's so good, dude. Like,
yeah.
And maybe it's because we just had a great flamethrower movie last year with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and now we're getting this again with The Thing. But, yeah, you should have flamethrowers in, like, every movie. There's no movie that couldn't stand to, like, benefit a little bit from a flamethrower.
Paper Towns?
I don't know what that one is.
It's just some stupid tween movie.
Was it Cara Delevingne or whatever?
Cara Delevingne, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But the title, Paper Towns.
Yeah, Paper Towns is so stupid. Oh, boy.
Can we talk about Kurt for a second, too?
Yeah.
He's, like, pretty good in this. Yeah. Like, there's that scene where, like, he gets, the guy, like, cuts him off the rope or whatever, and he comes back, and he's, like, the look in his eyes is, like, he's so, like, just, like, freaked out and, like, ready to just, like, fuck everybody over. Just so,
yeah, like, he's great from then on. Like, well, early on, it's a little subdued, and it's like, eh, but, like, then on, I'm like, oh, this dude's crazy.
This was also his, like, pet project, too, with John Carpenter. They've been doing this for years before it actually got cast, and he was one of the last ones to be cast because he wanted somebody else. And then he just kind of stepped in, you know.
Do you know who he wanted? I didn't look at the trivia on this one.
I do not off the top of my head. I would have to look it up, but... no, but it's one of those things where it's like he's really into it, so... Of course he's going to try and do his best acting. Where are we
here? I mean, it's no Sky High, but...
Right. Why is everybody obsessed with Sky High? I know it's the 15th anniversary. Like, it came out 15 years ago.
That was 15 years ago?
Yeah, it was 15. I know. And, like, I see it everywhere. They're like, Sky High, 15 years later. I'm like, do we really care? Like,
did you guys watch it?
I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You've seen it? Yeah.
It's okay. Awful. No, it's Warren okay.
It's pretty much like broken the content, like Industrial Complex, dude. Like, I saw somebody was like, oh, God, I forget what movie it was, but it was like the seventh anniversary of like some shitty movie no one actually cares about. And, oh, my, it's sorry. But, yeah, dude, Kurt fucking kills it, man.
It's okay. I got it right here. So initially, the studio wanted wanted Christopher Walken, Jeff Bridges.
Oh my God, Walken in this movie?
Yeah. Jeff Bridges, Nick Nolte, and Sam Shepard.
Let me. Okay, can I rank those in order of like preference?
By all means.
I would take Nolte. No, I would take Walken, Nolte. Who is the other one besides Sam Shepard?
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges.
Sam Shepard, Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges would suck in this movie, and I like Jeff Bridges.
There's a couple other ones.
He's too chill.
He'd be good in the first half, the guy dumping the drink into the chess computer.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't pull off the second half.
Can't do crazy.
Wow. Those are some like heavy hitter names, too.
From back then, yes.
Yeah, right?
Like, now they're just some crazy hitters.
I mean, like, I always felt Walken was a little overrated, but...
He was stylized.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know, some, like, food that's, like, really strong that, like, certain people like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, so what we were talking about with, well... We don't have to go back to Chris's movie taste again. Okay.
Oh, you mean 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Yeah, let's not get into that on this
about,
podcast.
This is about The Thing, man.
Yes, this is The Thing.
I've got here in my notes. Can we talk? I need to talk about like my like favorite scene though in this movie.
Okay.
The test scene. The blood test. Like mm-hmm. that's like the best part of the movie, right?
Oh yeah, because like it's the. The tension is like so strong, and you have no idea, like as the audience,
absolutely not.
Like, so like, I feel like modern movies, we would know, and it'd be like the tension building up to the main character getting that reveal. But in this case, it's like, no one knows. And that's what makes it so great.
Yeah. I mean, like the strength of this movie is always, those scenes where they're all together trying to figure out who the alien is.
Right.
Like, I personally thought, and this got panned at the time, it's really what killed it at the time, that, like, the gore was a bit much.
Yeah.
Or it's like, it was a bit distracting at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even
were
that...
Were there any that jumped out to you?
For the gore?
Yeah.
The initial autopsy on that burn thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little too drawn out.
Well, actually, I thought that one wasn't that bad. I mean...
The one where it was like, this is a regular liver or whatever?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like that scene where with the guy who has the heart attack on the table.
Yeah, I would say the defib scene, like, in general.
Because, like, then he starts ripping apart, and I'm just like, ew, you look like a boiled lobster inside. Ew.
Yeah, it looks kind of gross.
I'm not gonna lie, that blood scene, just because you referenced it, I wrote it down as I was watching this movie. It's really like the first logical scene in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Because nothing else that they did, like, you wouldn't split up into so many groups,
right,
if you thought somebody was an alien, you know?
Yeah.
It's just especially the like first. That's like. That's like the kind of the first scene where it's like, oh, these guys have brains and they're trying to use them.
And that's, like, so unlike, like, I feel like a lot of horror movies, I guess some of them usually put the pieces together or whatever. And this one, like, yeah, it's a horror, but it's almost a little bit, like, thriller to a little bit. Because, like, you do find out very early on that there's a supernatural element of it.
Yeah.
But, like, you could totally redo this and, like, have it not, like, you could have done, like, the supernatural reveal, like, I don't know. Like halfway through instead of like, you know, a quarter of the way through or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have lost a little bit though.
It would be a different movie for sure.
Yeah, it would definitely be different. I feel like you would have lost something if you, in the middle of the movie, said, oh, it's aliens, instead of literally the opening scene. It's okay. We got an alien ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get it done and move on. You know?
So Sam, because you've seen the original or The Thing from Another World, so that one, it starts with them. There's a crash. They find the spaceship. They dig it out of the survivor out of the ice.
Well, Sean, for them, you should just explain it to this way. It's what the Norwegians did.
Yeah. That's so the whole point of this one is John Carpenter wanted to pick it up after, like, this thing had already escaped. So I guess, like, if you exclude the final act of the original, the thing from the Another World, if you take the first two acts...
And you make the monster a shapeshifter. The
right.
monster's not a shapeshifter.
Though. Right. It's kind of like a prequel to it, which, like I said, I guess I'm the only one who's seen the prequel, right?
Yeah, the actual like, prequel.
So
yeah.
I guess I'll touch upon the prequel a little bit. So they went into making the prequel. It came out in 2011. The people who were in charge of making it, originally they were tasked of making a remake. But they were like, no, John Carpenter's is too perfect. We don't want to remake that. Can we just do a prequel? And so the studios were like, fine, do a prequel. So they did the prequel. It's kind of like what you said, John, where like if you watch it and you've never seen the original, you have no idea what's happening because they're like, there's some the beginning of it isn't even in Antarctica. Then they go to Antarctica and then it's just them like. Americans and Norwegians trying to get along and stuff, and then they find the crash spaceship, they find a survivor, bring it into their thing, they melt it down to do an autopsy on it, and then it breaks out and starts attacking everybody.
Oh, so they, okay, I thought for whatever reason the prequel was just going to be about the American camp.
No, it's the Norwegian camp. So it ends with the helicopter flying after the dog, shooting at the dog. Like, that's where the prequel ends.
Gotcha.
Spoiler alert.
That's how this one started.
Well, it's not a really better a way spoiler. Of presenting that.
It's too bad they couldn't make it, like, 6 years later and have, like, a fully CGI Kurt Russell.
Right.
Like,
right.
Well, so the problem with the prequel is they went about it perfectly. So when they were designing
was the problem.
Yeah. No, when they were designing the Norwegian base, they took Kurt Russell, who is 5'10", and then they did a bunch of stills from this movie, and they made the Norwegian base as perfect as possible to this movie, like based on his size. So they knew how tall the ceilings were. They had, like, when they were building the set, they had references from this movie on set, so they knew that they had to get all the details down to like the perfect point. And the biggest flaw with this movie was that they hired the team to do the practical effects, they designed everything, and then the studio went, now we're doing CGI, and it looks horrible.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate. Would you recommend checking this out?
No.
Checking out the prequel?
No. No. It doesn't really add anything to it. It, like, I feel for the people behind the scenes for this, because this, they wanted to do this as perfectly as possible, but it's Warner Brothers, I believe Universal. I think Universal produced it, and they just meddled with it nonstop. And it just, everyone was pissed off at the end. Like, I know one of the Norwegian actors who was in some American movies, he retired for a decade after this movie because he was pissed.
Universal distributed this movie.
Yeah.
But they didn't, they weren't like production studios.
The original, right?
No. The 2011. Oh, the Universal distributed. Okay. So you had Strike Entertainment, Morgan Creek Productions. Those are the two.
Well, I know there was a lot of studio interference.
It was probably between those two, but it's not. I don't want to discredit Universal.
No, but I did hear Universal was on set, and they were the ones that making like the final shots. Like, people were getting really pissed off.
I don't know how much a distributor,
I don't know.
Production company had. Oh.
But yeah, I mean, watch it if you're curious. But it just gives you kind of like a background to it. It's got a good cast, but. The thing that makes this one so great, which is the practical effects, is just gone. And the practical effects team that did the work on the prequel, when they found out that their babies were replaced by CGI, they went off and they made Harbinger Down, which is basically this movie but on a ship, and it's all practical effects, and it looks really cool. And like, for B B-movie, monster movie in Antarctica. It's actually pretty good.
So, Sean.
Yeah.
Since you're the only one that's seen the original.
Okay. I'm the only one who's seen all three.
Yeah, you're the only one who's seen all three. Did you enjoy the little, like, Easter eggs they did, especially at the Norwegian base?
Yeah.
Where, like when they're watching the video,
mm-hmm.
and they do that thing where they all walk out and form the shape of it.
Yeah.
Or, like, the fact that the block of ice looks like it was in that movie and still doesn't make any sense why an electric blanket would do that.
Right.
But still.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Can we get back to the...
Let's get back to the original.
The 1982 movie. So, I need to comment on the ending here.
All right.
The ending would have bothered me. The ending really would have bothered me.
Why?
If it had not been for how, like, good the rest of the movie was.
Why would the ending bother you?
There was absolutely no... like,
there is closure. And I stated it to start this podcast.
What
all the all the scotch bottles were filled with gasoline, all of them. First thing that Keith David and Kurt Russell do, Kurt Russell opens it, gives it to Keith David, he drinks it, perfectly fine. He just drank gasoline. Keith David is the thing.
Wait, really?
Yeah, yeah.
All the scotch bottles, when did they fill them up?
They turned them all into Molotov cocktails. All of them. That's why he had one on him. Because it was a Molotov cocktail. So Keith David drinks gasoline at the end and is like, this is good.
Carbon.
So at the end.
I missed that all of them were scotch. But what I did pick up on was when he drank it, I was like, feels like this movie is trying to make me feel like drinking the scotch means something.
Yeah.
It's like you show Kurt Russell is kind of like,
yeah, he's like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like that's the point of the movie where Kurt Russell's like, I'm dead no matter what. So, cause either he's going to freeze to death or he's going to be assimilated. So.
Oh dude. See, like, all right. So I'm actually kind of pissed. Cause like, I did not get that at all.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a big part of the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's a subtle detail that you're, like Sam said, you're like, I feel like the scotch is a big deal. And
yeah,
when you think back to it, they fill them all with gasoline.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have drawn more attention to that.
Maybe. Yeah. But I think it's such a great subtle ending that, like, first viewing, you don't really pick up on it. But, like, second or third, you're like, wait a minute.
I mean, if it was less important than that, I'd agree with you.
Mm.
But, like, it needs to be a little less subtle.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, because I've seen this movie a few times and I missed it.
I like the fact that they don't draw attention to it, where they're, like, they're leaning on the fact that the viewer has been paying attention this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the fact that they didn't really draw attention to it at any other point, where you really had to be paying attention.
Yeah.
Because it was it was early that they...
Yeah. When they were doing the full-on attack, preparing for everything.
Like, if at some point Kurt Russell turns to Keith David and is just like, hey, don't drink the scotch. It's all gasoline.
Yeah,
just
but,
like
that. Yeah, but the problem with that is... I mean, he wouldn't say it to Keith David because Keith David would then be like, oh, but this is gasoline. Because the alien remembers. The alien takes over everybody's...
So was Wilford Brimley the thing, or was it Keith David? Was it Keith David building
at the...
No, Keith David, it was just him and Kurt Russell sitting at the...
Yeah.
In the crater or whatever it was.
Right.
But the question is, when did Keith David be...
Keith David could be the thing as well, because remember, every cell of it is an independent organism.
Right.
So it can affect multiple people.
Yeah.
I do like the ambiguity. I really, you know, and it's definitely one I've got to rewatch... Not right away, but at some point, and kind of, you know, process it a little differently. I'll tell you what, I had known about the blood test scene before, because First time I was introduced to it was the South Park episode, which I can't even remember what it is, but it's just Cartman being Kurt Russell, and like someone calls him out for like this actually just being the thing. What was I going with? Oh yeah, but I looked that up on YouTube and I'd watched it, and it's a testament to how good it is. I totally like forgot what it, you know, I forget who actually tested positive or whatever when I'm watching it again. Like it's that good. Like you're so locked in when you watch
Which, it. Yeah. I honestly think the best effect of this movie is the blood jumping out of the
the
petri dish. Like that just looks so good.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, what's going on with Kurt Russell's head?
It was just in general. There was just a lot of good practical.
Yeah. No, Stan Winston's crew did an amazing job in this movie, as they always do.
And credit where credit's due. My boy, the late Ennio Morricone with the soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
which it's funny because it puts Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight in a different perspective, because Kurt Russell is sort of the same kind of character in a similar kind of movie where they're all trapped in a little cabin because it's snowing out and there's somebody who's not who they say they are. And it's you know, I get to kind of rewatch that one with this in mind now.
I've never watched any Tarantino, cause I am like, everybody who likes Tarantino is like, he's the greatest. And I'm like, kind of like the same thing. Why I've never seen The Godfather, because I feel like every movie, everybody's like, oh, it's amazing. It's not going to live up to the hype kind of thing. I have seen The Kill Bills.
Okay.
Which Stanley is Kubrick is up there too.
What?
You should check out some Tarantino.
I feel like I would like Hateful Eight.
Watch Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
I'll give you this. They're usually overblown.
Yeah.
They're not as good as people say, but they're still good.
Yeah. But I feel like I would like Hateful Eight. I think that might be the one.
Watch
that
the miniseries version.
Hateful Eight. I honestly I didn't like as much. Like it's kind of way too. This sort of movie doesn't need to be 3 hours long. Like the guy in a room, like people stuck together, never needs to be that long,
right?
Frankly. Yeah. And so the fact that there's a now extended version on Netflix, like really. Maybe I'll check it out now that I'm a little like juiced up for it, but like, you know, it's not something I would like trend to normally.
Right.
But yeah, check out like Reservoir Dogs would be like a good one because it kind of is very similar. Sam, I don't know if you've seen it. It's a very translatable.
Reservoir Dogs. Yet.
Yeah, it's. See, I absolutely love this genre of like. I'll say dudes. It's almost always just dudes trapped in a room together trying to figure out like what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Like those are, if I had like a sub genre that was my like absolute favorite, it would probably be up there. So that's why I really like love this movie. Mm-hmm. This movie. But yeah, Reservoir Dogs almost the exact same way, you know, who's the rat kind of deal. But getting back to Kurt Russell, never mind.
I love
the beard. The whole look and everything was just like great too. And the fact he's got like a random shack too that he goes to. Like he doesn't actually like live in the same building as everybody else.
He's like the Antarctica's one like homeless dude.
No, he's the pilot, right? The helicopter pilot?
Yeah, he's the helicopter pilot. Yeah. But so just to go like a bit like 30,000 feet up with this movie, I sort of feel like because this in the late 70s and like early 80s, there felt like there was this divergent in horror movies, and it like John Carpenter's career kind of like mirrors that, where you before this era you had a lot more movies like The Thing, where it was more like monster movies and stuff like that, whereas nowadays it's all like teen slashers.
And you can thank John Carpenter for that.
Yeah, you can thank John Carpenter for that. But like this movie kind of like cements in my mind, like, oh, but like, what if we didn't do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause this, I'm not crazy about this movie, but like if horror movies were more like this, I'd actually give them a shot.
Yeah.
Where like we get horror movies nowadays where it's just like, okay, I can sort of feel like I just by seeing the trailer, I know what the pitch session for that was just like, listen, nuns are scary.
It's like that's you almost the movie. Yeah, you almost know exactly what all the plot points are gonna be. Mm-hmm. Like exactly where it is. Yep. And in some ways it's like, hey, I'm just going to see it. Like, you know, I don't care. I just want to get scared.
Right. Yeah, but and that's 90% of them, unfortunately.
Yeah, to me, though, that's kind of where always horror movies kind of just fall short. There's no kind of... It's going to sound super fucking pretentious, but there's no, like, intellectual, like, stimulation. Like, there's no, like, ooh, this is something cool I've never seen before.
Right.
Like, it's, you know? Even for this one, this is not, like, the highest brow movie in the world, but, like, the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, oh, shit, who is the monster?
Yeah.
Right.
And
guessing.
Like, so I'm actually interacting with this movie like, instead of just sitting there going like, okay, I get tense music now, so I know there's going to be a pop-out scare, mm-hmm. and then there's a pop-out scare, I get scared, but I'm not enjoying myself, I just hate this movie now.
The movie...
And, like, and Sam, frankly, some complexity. Like, Kurt Russell just shoots a guy who's totally innocent.
Yeah.
But, like, the movie, the recent movie that I would say breaks the mold as well, for this would be Saw. I would say like
the first Saw.
Oh yeah, then it's a serial.
The first, and only.
The first one. I mean, some of the second one, some, but not as much. But the first one definitely. I mean, it's just
well,
like that.
It was different.
Yeah. Well, it causes you to think the whole time.
It's not really a horror movie. It's more like a gory thriller.
But there's very little gore, which is great.
Yeah, but it's like there's nothing in it that I like feel like is scary as much as it is just unnerving.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a cop movie almost.
Yeah. It's kind of like a
I mean, technically,
not
it is
very
a cop
good
movie.
Version of Zodiac.
Right, but you know,
if Zodiac was more of a thriller and not as good.
Whenever you're ready for the con on classics of Zodiac, by the way, just let me know.
Dude, I have five minutes on that movie, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't have
that's
much on
not,
that.
It's not a Chris movie at all.
I like it. It's just
I was not a fan. Like,
you're not a fan of Zodiac?
No,
It's not about like figuring out who the guy is. It's about like obsession.
Right. Yeah. Which I was like, I was in it for the serial killer. What the hell?
I know. It's a little bit of a bait.
I was in it for Ted Cruz.
It was one of those movies that just got sold in the wrong way.
It did. And I think that's what hurt it for me.
Like, Robert Downey Jr. Oh, he's going to be in the whole movie. He's going to find the Zodiac killer, right? Yep, totally, dude.
Yeah.
I knew going into that movie about the Zodiac killer. So like I knew they were never going to find him. So, but like I went in there to watch like the process of it all and whatnot. And even then, like it wasn't the movie that I was sold on. And that was disappointing to me.
Can we do a John Carpenter top three?
Carpenter top three.
I mean, to give him credit where, you know, cause he did kind of create the,
well, I mean,
or he didn't create the slasher. He just kind of threw.
No,
it
he into the basically
forefront.
Created the slasher. Everybody after well, this
and,
movie,
and then he moved on too, which is like kind of cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Its first slasher is.
It's Halloween.
Is there one that predates Halloween? Or
yeah, I mean,
he's
Texas,
credited
Texas
as
Texas is 78.
Yeah, but he is credited as creating the teen slasher movie.
Yeah, but you can kind of chalk Leatherface in that.
Not really.
Kind of force them. It's not really a slasher, but it's...
No, it's more it's of very, like a psychological kind of movie. Like,
yeah, but it's also very similar because...
Right, but it's not one person killing, like, mass teenagers.
It's
a
definitely,
small group of people.
Yeah, I mean, the original Texas Chainsaw 2, it didn't have, like, the mass appeal either of Halloween.
Right.
No, because it was more of a... Well, things were marketed differently back in the 70s.
No, for sure. Like, I mean, Texas Chainsaw is kind of... Is Dennis Hopper in that one?
No, he's in the sequel.
No, he's in
the... Okay, all right. So that one's pretty squarely a B-movie. I've never seen it.
The original Texas Chainsaw, I would definitely recommend it. It is a very good horror movie. And it is filmed very... It feels dirty, almost, right. But it was filmed that way on purpose.
But you can't ignore like the next 15 years after Halloween of being like, oh, it started with Halloween.
Right. Yeah. Like you can definitely see the strings attaching and you can see the journey where it's like, yeah, maybe it didn't start off like that, but you can clearly see that was the stepping stone for everything else.
Everything stemmed from Halloween.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing on John Carpenter too. Like, I feel like I've slept on John Carpenter like way too long. Like there's this kind of like, I don't want to say like Tarantino kind of thing, but like Tarantino kind of makes these like high budget, like B movies. John Carpenter kind of makes just like very competent, like sort of B movies with like sort of a bigger budget. Like they're not actually like they have that feel, but like they have a real look to them. Like it doesn't ever feel cheap. You know, there's kind of a God. Sometimes the words I use here, but there's kind of a good like craftsmanship. Like it's something that like it doesn't feel like you're eating the trash or whatever. But no, dude, I definitely got to check out more Carpenter, especially some of these like Big Trouble, Little China, Escape from New York.
Big Trouble, Little China is just like a ridiculously stupid fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have not seen it. I have not, but I know.
Oh, like, watch it and just I want to know your thoughts on it. We don't have to talk about it on the show. I just want to know your thoughts on it because it's I've seen it a few times and like it's okay. It's not bad. It falls into like that Mario Brothers movie world.
Maybe a little better.
Oh, okay. Where it's you're not just, really selling us. But
the leads weren't completely shit faced during the entire production of it, like they were in Mario.
Yeah, so. Well, watch the movie and you tell me. you just let me know. But it's like Kurt Russell's just epically awesome in this movie. But
so
or in that movie.
Do we want to do a top three?
Yeah, no particular order. You don't have to rank. Just
all right. Well, I'm like as I mentioned, I'm like way under having seen him. But I guess for what I've seen, these are the only three I've seen. But I'd say Halloween, The Thing, and They Live. Which, whenever you want to do the They Live one, also...
I'm all in on the They Live
podcast. Put the glasses on. Which is also another great South
Cripple
Park
Cripple Fight!
see, John, I'm with you. Those are the only three movies I've seen. And I just reversed your list. They Live, The Thing, and Halloween.
Really? You put They Live above Halloween?
I think I prefer watching They Live over Halloween because like, it's a stupid like, movie.
It's surprisingly like deep, but not really.
Right?
I know what you mean. Like it's trying to be deep. It sort of is, but not really.
I don't know. Yeah.
Look, he did the best job. He did the best job he could with that story, and it came out not awful.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. And like how it ends, where it's just like, yes, and everybody sees the aliens now. We're not going to explain what happens.
But... yeah, right.
You fill in the blank.
Yeah, didn't they? What did they do? They
destroyed
they blew
the,
up
the tower that
radio tower or something
the transmitter that was making everybody see them as a human.
And so they saw the messages on the board and saw all the aliens and all the aliens were like what did, oh no, and then it ends.
Yeah, that's right.
God. I came here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, boy.
That is a good one. Yeah, I would say those are my top three as well for John Carpenter.
What's your order?
I don't know. I mean, I would probably go Thing, They Live, Halloween. I love this movie. This movie, I mean... It's a Stan Winston movie, and that guy's like a hero to me. So, I mean,
I think to me, like, I don't know, Halloween has a certain importance to it, too.
Yeah.
That it's just like, it's so funny because it's just like, I mean, did we do like a ranking or a tournament of like best Halloween movies? I feel like we did.
We didn't do a ranking, but what we did was, the 31 Days of Halloween.
Yeah, which I guess we put Halloween on Halloween because how could you not?
Right.
But I think if you did it though, it'd be up there. I mean, it'd be tough to see. Like, I mean, is Halloween a top three horror movie?
Yes,
it's a top five. I would probably say.
Yeah, for Universal purposes, top five. But
what do you mean Universal?
Like, I can speak for me, top three. But for everybody else, I can almost guarantee it's top five.
Yeah. I mean, it's iconic within itself. I mean, are there scary movies out there that, you know, that are indie films? Of course. But, like, Halloween literally, like, most of these movies wouldn't exist without Halloween.
What knocks down Halloween for me is not the movie itself, but what it spawned.
Okay.
You don't like, yeah, like, you, oh, yeah. Now we get like 15 bajillion teen slasher movies from now on.
Unfortunately, there's some good ones in there.
It's a little
too,
unfair, though.
Yeah.
I know it is a bit unfair, but like it still makes me feel that way.
It wasn't until like Wes Craven took what the hell was his thing?
Nightmare,
right? It wasn't until he took Nightmare into like the seventh or eighth one. That's when it got ridiculous.
He was only around for the first one. And the seventh one?
Was he?
Yeah.
Because whatever
I think
happened,
he produced, like, but he only did the first one and like the last one. Which is really good if you've never seen it.
Seven.
The big four, I think you're right. I think the big four did the first one and then a little bit of their sequel and then just stepped away.
Yeah.
But whoever took it after that just kind of ruined everything.
Well, they were just trying to pump out sequels. Like,
yeah. That's like another thing about the teen slasher movies is they feel so cynical.
Yeah.
Can they? Okay.
You always have a final girl who always, you know, that's literally a thing that came from these movies.
Did we answer the question if this is an untouchable?
I feel like we
talked about the remake. It's a sequel or a prequel. I'm sorry.
So the news on this is a sequel in the works for this movie right now.
There's a sequel to The Thing or a remake?
A sequel to The Thing. I don't know how I feel about it.
To be honest, I'd prefer a like remake over a sequel.
The problem is, I completely agree with the filmmakers of the prequel that how do you remake this? It's so
It has to be practical.
Like how do you?
I don't think it's like how you could remake it. Like I think you can do a modern cast. You could do like better cast. Like I would love to see that. Yeah. But, like I don't know if it'd be better, but like I'd love to see it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with this is an untouchable for me. Like I don't think I'm fine with them attempting a prequel or a sequel, and it'll get my money. But I mean,
isn't just like the prequel a remake, but they just like moved the time frame a little bit differently.
Yes,
it's not really untouchable.
No, but
it's definitely touched.
Well, it's been touched, but. In a bad way.
bad time.
No, their heart was in it, but it didn't pan out the way that they wanted it to. And I understand that. And like, it doesn't have all the things that make this the thing great. Like the cast isn't like cohesive. There's no like, oh, who is it? Or if they kind of just are like, here's a shit ton of gore. Everything's an alien. And that's kind of like how the movie is. And it's just, there's no like tension anywhere in it. Although I did bring my friend of ours to see the prequel who had never seen the original, had no idea what the thing was. And
listen, it's a thing. All right. That's right. All
like, he had no idea what the creature was. And the first time he saw the creature, he was like, oh my God, what the hell is that? Like, he was freaking out next to me, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Who is this?
Ian.
Oh, Ian.
Yeah.
A film student.
Well, he's not a film. He's computer graphics. Graphic designer.
But yeah. I would love to see a version of this that's like, doesn't actually have to be the thing, but it's like 80% the same movie. Like, yeah. I would watch that movie once a year for the rest of my life.
With a good cast. Or just
it could be a better cast. Not
watch,
necessarily a
watch
great,
Harbinger Down then.
Which one?
Harbinger Down.
All right, I'll add it to the list. Harbinger?
Harbinger.
Harbinger?
Harbinger. Maybe it's Harbinger.
Harbinger. Yeah.
Harbinger, I believe, is from Doom, the game. my mistake.
Very similar movie.
Yes. Yes. Yes, the
very. I don't know, dude. Lance Henriksen's the first guy.
Yes,
in this.
Yes, it's a Lance Henriksen movie, and this is Lance Henriksen later half of his career. No, but
I
it was.
I don't know if this is a better like version.
No, I didn't say it was a better version. You said okay. This movie, but like 80% this movie, and that's kind of what that movie is. And the practical effects are really good in that movie.
This sounds very similar. I will check it out.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as good.
It's a 4.5 on IMDb.
There you go. Check it out. But it's pretty much the same movie.
Just can we go back for the cast for 1 second? Because I just have to mention, Keith David is an amazing, like, no bullshit skeptical guy. Like, he just nails that character. He does it in They Live. He does it in this one.
Platoon.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Was the other guy.
He was in
Halo Riddick. 2.
He was in what?
Was he in Halo 2?
He's the Arbiter.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's right. See, now you think he's going to be the Chief. Not right. Not the Chief. The guy who's in Aliens, essentially.
Yeah.
But, Braddock, he's in Missing in Action 3.
Mass Effect.
Yeah, he does a lot of good voice acting.
He does. He does.
Keith David, if you gave me more Keith David, I'm not going to say no. I'll put
right.
it that
no,
way.
No, yeah, I agree with that.
He was in Armageddon. Yeah, okay.
Who's he? Is he like a? Is he like
he's
a
the,
suit Armageddon?
The lead of the army, the military.
Yeah, he's a suit. He's definitely a Michael Bay suit guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do we have any closing thoughts on the thing?
Any questions that we didn't answer, Chris?
No, we answered a lot. Almost, we answered all of them.
Can I give you my favorite line of a movie? Which I again, I apologize. I haven't gone deep through the IMDb trivia on this. I don't know if it was actually improvised or whatever. But like at the very end, when like the thing comes up out of the ground when they're in the little cave, and then Kurt Russell's like, "Yeah, fuck you too," and throws the dynamite at him. I love that.
Oh man, it is.
That was going to be my alternate line if Sam had stolen mine from the beginning.
that was my also my alternate. I was going to go with that one, and then I found a cheating bitch, and I'm like, you know, that just works. But this is definitely a top 10 pronoun movie.
What do you mean by that?
Just vague one word titles.
You, there. I, me. That's why I keep getting lost with all the characters.
All right. Any final thoughts? No?
Not here, man. No, I'm good. I recommend it.
The people can't hear you shaking your heads.
It's good. I would recommend, and it's a good quarantine movie too. Even though we're technically sort of not as much in quarantine anymore, right. But still a good call.
It's also a very good like snowstorm movie. If you're
yes,
if you know if there's a snowstorm
or
going on,
Christmas in July. Yeah.
If you suspect someone in your house of being an alien,
yeah.
A good movie.
Let them watch that. If they hate the movie, they're the alien.
I think I first watched this movie on Laserdisc.
Wow.
Wow.
Fun fact.
Like, yeah.
You know that's weird when they literally watch a VHS in the movie.
And they have the most advanced computer. The computer really irritates me. It's like smarter than Mother in the Alien movies.
All right. Well, on that note, you can find all of our podcasts on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Podbean. Facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. If you can think of a good movie that you want us to review, please send them our way. we're always looking next for.
We're gonna do, what are we doing? Hobbs and Shaw and maybe some other stuff.
Yep. We got some news. We got a lot to do next week, so we gotta bring our A games. Alright, well have a great week and we'll see you next week.
Keep watching the skies.
We like Norway.